0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Sorry, my headphones are extraordinarily fuzzy for some reason. Ollie Green is on the line. Eric Rankin is on the line. 51551 is our text number. Joe at rt.ie, as I said. Ollie Green. Back to this issue that's been coming up on Liveline now for a number of years.
I'm on the line now. Will good it ma- stay
yeah,
open?
Yes, Ollie, please do. Please do. Ollie, Ollie.
Yes, yeah, how are you doing, Joe?
How are you doing? Who are you talking to there?
No, it wasn't. I just heard someone else coming in.
Oh, great stuff. Okay. Good to hear from you, Ollie. You say you're annoyed at the vapes, the e-vapes, the single-use disposable vapes, of which there are millions. Anyone walking down the street in any town, any village, any city in Ireland, you would see one on the ground within the next 15 to 20 seconds. They are plastic. They are usually multicoloured. What's upset you about these vapes, Ollie?
Our business, we're all about, you know, helping farmers reduce down chemical on farms, teaching, you know, families how to compost and get rid of food waste, you know, properly. Yeah. And then you just go along the road. Like, I was out last week and I was out for a run on Monday morning. I came across about four of them just within a 5 kilometer circuit. Like, then you go down for a walk in your local lake and they're littered all over the place. Then, you know, and I was down in Sligo the weekend, down in Eastkey, and there was a little pool. I was out for a walk again, and with a pool, and with five vapes in this little pool, like, and they would have to be thrown into it. And when you see them actually squashed up, there's batteries attached. So even like when I gathered them up, is putting them into the refuge bin the right thing to do, because there's actually a battery attached to it, and should there be actually a recyclable item?
Because there has to be an ignition source. And the ignition source is the battery, yeah.
Yeah, because even like I was reading on The Guardian there last week that, you know, they're reckoning in the UK alone, 5 million alone are being disposed of every week. And like you see in Ireland, like I said, there's probably, I did, we were talking to the county council workers who are good at sweeping up the roads and that. I said they must be coming across, you know, after a long weekend, thousands and thousands of them on the streets.
So what do you think the government should do, or is it too late?
I don't think it is. Well, you have a budget coming up soon, and they're well able to put tax on cigarettes and everything else. I think there should be a pollution tax put on them and just put a good, you know, because it's going to cost so much to dispose of them, and you should have, if they're going to use them, people are going to use them, it might make them more aware of disposing them properly. And I think just put some sort of pollution tax on, because they're an absolute menace.
Do you mean on every single disposable vape there would be how much of a tax?
I'd put a tenner on each of them and be done with it.
Sure, that would be more than doubling the price.
Might be doubling the price and the rest, because I know some of them are only, I've seen a vending machine in a hotel lately, and there were, I think, with €2 or €3 for one of these colourful vapes. I don't even know what the names of them are. I wouldn't even say the names anyways. But they're just a menace around the place. You know, and it's nothing to do with people. Like, people are entitled to...
But what about people who say, I'm using it to give up cigarettes?
Look, Joe, like, I was a smoker for many years, and I think if you're giving up cigarettes, give up cigarettes. You know, there's no... You know, in my opinion, obviously there are people, whatever will get them across the line, but I know friends who have used them to give up cigarettes, and they're vaping now for the last 10 years. So they've gone from cigarettes just to vaping.
Okay, Eric, stay there, Ollie, in Mullingar. Eric Rankin and Clansky. Eric, your contribution,
yes,
please.
Joe.
Your contribution, please.
Well, I just collect these vapes and drop them back to the distributors once a month in a bag.
Okay.
And I can collect, I could collect 10 in 2 hours. I think I said this before when I was on with Colm O'Mungon, when you were on holiday. That man is quite right. They are disgusting items, but they're also metal. They're plastic metal with batteries, and it's the environmental business that upsets me. If people want to smoke and kill themselves, well, that's their problem. But the fish in the rivers where these things will go, because a lot of them are on the side of the road and they'll get into the drains, and often the drains are draining into rivers. So it's the aquatic life will be destroyed because these batteries are lethal.
Yeah. But is it too late, Eric?
No, it's not. The government, they banned them in France. And I think Germany, I'm not sure about that. But also, I think they're only on prescription in Australia. And New Zealand have gone away towards banning them as well. Now, I've written to four political parties and I've had a response from the private secretary of the Minister of Health.
Okay.
Telling me that Oisin Smith is the man responsible for the environmental aspect of this, which is fine.
And what was it, tell me what was in your letter, Eric, to the four leaders of the political parties? Because you can guarantee it, it's not something, vaping isn't up there on the agenda. It's not something that comes up at these think-ins.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think I blamed any of the political parties for this.
What did you say in your letter?
I can't remember. But
what were you looking for? What were you asking for?
Well, I mentioned that the banning of them, basically. I think we could go and do that because they're a danger to our young people. I mean, the people are smoking these in the Lewis as well. I've come across two groups of young people in the Lewis, and the Lewis staff tell me I'm wasting my time tackling them verbally.
An issue. Yeah, isn't there a sign on the Lewis?
There is.
Saying no smoking or vaping.
They did. There is. I think maybe it's not in every Lewis. Some of them have maybe got up to date. It just says no smoking. But there are certainly signs in some of the Lewis telling you no vaping.
But my point, Eric, is it too late?
No, it isn't too late. No. I think the Minister of Health has gone some way towards banning them from underage people.
They've been talking about it. They've been walking about it. But it's not in the law.
I see. Yeah, well, look,
should have said on holidays. It's not in the law. How is it? If it's that urgent, why don't they call? Why don't they recall it all and do something about it? But that's my point, and that's their decision. It's not a priority, Eric.
Doesn't seem to be a priority with them, but I think it's a priority with a few of us. I mean, I've never had a cigarette in my mouth in my life. I'm 73 years of age. And but I can see these are items very attractive to young people because of the colours and
the flavours.
They get 600 puffs out of it. But putting a figure on it in trying to attempt to reduce the waste, if they put a fiver on each one, the people might go back and get their fiver back. I don't know. I think a tenner is probably too much. The last caller.
What has gummy bear, grapefruit, jam, kiwi, lemon, lychee, melon meringue, nuts, papaya, pastry, peanut butter, pineapple, pomegranate, popcorn, rhubarb, slushy, strawberry, spearmint, tobacco, vanilla. What have they all got in common? They're flavours.
They're
e-cigarette flavours. There's 14,000 of them.
Yeah. Well, they're a damn nuisance.
Unicorn's breath is a new one.
Yeah.
Alex, 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Alex Guilfoyle in Kildare. Alex, your point, please.
Yeah, I don't think that the vape should be taken off the air completely. If you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe for the young people. Because you can't smoke cigarettes. Young people can't smoke cigarettes, especially in schools and things like that, where vaping is getting a bad name. But I think that, you know, for the likes of me, I should be able to buy a vape. It shouldn't be banned completely. Just like cigarettes should never be banned completely either.
But if cigarettes were, is it not fair to say, Alex, if cigarettes were invented tomorrow and we had all the technology and research and science and analysis that we now have, if cigarettes were invented tomorrow, they would never be allowed on the, in a shop or for sale. Never. They're so dangerous.
Yeah. But the vape isn't that way.
Okay.
The vape is a new thing that's come out, really, basically. You know, it's the same as the cigarette came out 100 years ago or whatever. So, yeah.
Tell me, Alex, what do you use a vape for?
I give up cigarettes.
Good man, brilliant.
Use a vape.
Brilliant.
And that's what I've done. I'm still on the vape, about 2 years on it, basically. And I've never smoked a cigarette since.
Excellent. Now, how did you discover vapes, Alex?
I've seen it advertised, and some friends have had them as well. And I was on one for a while, but smoking as well. I cut down the cigarettes a little bit. So, but then I got this new one that came on the market that I liked. And I bought that, and I've never looked back.
Okay. Now, do you use the liquid ones or the single-use disposable?
No, I use the liquid one that you top up every...
Okay.
Whenever you want.
Which is much cheaper than cigarettes.
Oh, far cheaper than cigarettes. Far cheaper.
Yeah. Now, did you speak to any medic or anyone before you... And fair play to you, giving up cigarettes.
No, I didn't. No, okay. I didn't. I did hear a scientist on the radio.
Yeah.
Stating that they are at least better than a cigarette. And that to me was, I would believe that that's so as well.
So it's the least worst option.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got a lot of people off cigarettes.
Well, would you like to give up vaping?
I haven't thought of it. To me, it doesn't feel an issue for me. Cigarettes were becoming an issue. I had a bit of a cough and there was little things like that happening. It was a bit of an issue for me. So, but this is not. And, okay, I'm 71 years of age. I'll probably outlast this one or outlast any problem that's going to come along with this vape. You know, so it's not an issue for me. And it's inexpensive.
But what about people are saying, they're not calling for an all-out ban on vaping, but that people who use vaping to give up smoking, which was the reason we're told they were invented, so what's the issue? But they should be, their ability to get it should be, they should go to a chemist or whatever. The sale of them should be limited dramatically, because I don't know how many vaping shops there are in Ireland now, Alex. There must be hundreds and hundreds of them.
Yeah, but I mean, if somebody wants to use a vape to get off cigarettes, and it doesn't matter how long it's going to take, until they eventually say, okay, I'm finished with the vape now. You know, so you can't really put a time on that.
Yeah, but put it another way, which is from previous discussions, people are saying smoking costs the state so much in terms of the health service. Cost the states, and not to mention the...
Cost quite a few for everybody, a few more for everybody else as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And the, and the distress that smoking causes people in later life, inevitably.
Yeah, but we don't see the vape doing this. There's nothing there at the present moment. So I think we should.
Yeah, I just want to finish my point, Alex, please. Smoking costs the health service and human lives, much more important, humanity, people, pain, distress, lung cancer, going on and on and on. Because smoking causes so much distress, surely if vaping is a way of getting people off cigarettes, we should be subsidising vaping for people who want to come off cigarettes. And them alone.
I would have no problem with that.
Okay.
There's not an issue with that, of course. No.
Joe Dunn is a company called Creative Distribution and Hale Vaping. Joe, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. But what is the situation? There's no law on it. Well, I know they charge VAT on them, but there's no excise duty. What about the points that have been made by our callers already? €10 on a vape. How would you react to that? How much is a vape to buy anyway? The single use disposable.
Single use, Joe, can range anything probably from €6 to €8 maybe for a single use. And I just wanted to touch on one point there, Joe. One of the points you made earlier, and I know you were talking about it last week on the show, was in relation to the potential of a disposable single use ban, you know, which has gone through a consultation process. The problem you have with that, Joe, and this has nothing even to do with business, this is just to do with, I suppose, Ireland on its own, in a sense that if you ban disposables in Ireland, they're not going to be banned anywhere else in Europe, Joe. So they're going to come in from everywhere. It's going to be a free market. It's going to be a free-for-all. So and what will happen then, Joe, I'm sorry, Joe, what will happen is then these won't be approved and notified and regulated products that will be regulated here by the HSE, and God knows what's in them. All I'm saying is if this was an EU-wide ban, obviously there's nothing you could do. You just have to go with it. But then everyone's on the same playing field. It opens up a huge black market potential. And Joe, we know over our lifetime and different things in the past, prohibition doesn't work. It creates black markets. And unfortunately, that's what a disposable ban would do, because they'll still be available throughout Europe. And Joe, if you look, and I think you mentioned it last week, and it's a fair point you made, Joe, in relation to Australia, and they've gone prescription only. The problem with Australia, they did that to curb the black market, and all it's done is treble this. They are going to turn back on that, because only 10% of the vapors in Australia are buying through a prescription, and over a million of them are still buying in the black market. So it doesn't work, Joe, you know, when we've seen that.
And where are you quoting these figures from? Where's these studies that you're if you're going to throw a load of studies at me? For example, I was listening to The World Tonight last night on BBC talking about vaping, and John Dunn, who's their the representative for the vaping industry, no relation, I presume.
In the UK, no relation. Yeah.
John Dunn, who's the representative for vaping, he started throwing out these studies like confetti at a wedding, and there was no way to present her, because there was no one else on at the time. There's no way to present her could counter them. You're saying Australia, and we hear from Australia. I wish I knew these things, because we researched it before. And you're saying Australia has the ban has collapsed.
The ban will collapse, Joe.
It has collapsed.
Oh, well, it has collapsed in terms of what it was meant to achieve. It was meant to stop the black market and illicit trade, and all it has done is tripled and quadrupled that now in the marketplace because it's prescription.
The Prime Minister of France said, this is your point about we'll do it, and as we know, this is the way we work in Ireland. We talk about it for years. The Dáil does nothing about this vaping thing, and that's they have priorities, and you have to understand that. I understand that. They have priorities. And France, the Prime Minister of France says they are going to, Elizabeth Borne, she said that they are going to ban disposable vapes. They are in, and there's going to be similar measures apparently in Germany, Australia and New Zealand. And I don't know whether you heard Rishi Sunak yesterday, the British Prime Minister. He's on the same hymn sheet. So what will happen is France will ban them, Germany will ban them, Australia will ban them, and then England and the UK will ban them, and then Ireland will put a Dúdine on it and a few buttons and a waistcoat, and we'll ban them as well. We'll have the Irish, but we have to wait until everyone else moves.
Well, usually we don't wait. Like, if you look at the smoking ban, I think we are one of the first to do that, Joe. The thing you have to remember about disposables as well, people are saying, you know, disposables are doing this and they're doing that. You know, we need to look at the figures. Like, our public health bill it's not even passed yet. It's only coming in this year. It should have been in years ago. But in fairness, it's coming in now, better late than never. And that's going to prohibit shops and places from selling to under 18s illegally. And I think
when is that coming in?
Well, as far as I know, it was nearly signed off. It should come in before the end of the year. But the penalties in there are so huge. I think it's going to scare the life out of anybody.
How many vaping shops do you know, Joe? I know you're one of the biggest suppliers. How many vaping shops in Ireland now?
There could be, I'm going to guess around probably around 100, maybe around 150, Joe.
No, there's more than that.
Well, no. See, I think what you're seeing is now you're obviously seeing vaping products being sold in convenience stores. But you know, the thing we have to remember, this is where we're losing sight all the time, I find. And this is, even though I'm in the industry, you know, I surround myself with experts. So anything I'm telling you here is coming from people who are experts in this tobacco harm reduction field. Vaping is a harm reduction tool. It is between 95 to 97% less harmful than smoking. That's what we need to keep in mind. It's comparable to smoking.
And what study are you quoting there, Joe?
I'm quoting Public Health England, Joe, and they conducted over 429 studies over the past 10 years, and they keep coming up with the same results. So we need to keep that in the same sentence, Joe, not what is vaping doing. What is vaping doing compared to smoking? What it is doing is reducing the harm caused to people. And I'm sure you've had callers come on your show. I've heard them, Joe, and it's made a difference to their life.
Yeah, and you've heard them. But you were saying for people who smoke, it makes a difference. But surely that's who they should be limited to. For people who smoke, the whole idea is to try and, I don't know why they were invented, but the whole idea is to try and get them off smoking.
Oh, no, it is, Joe. And you're right.
So
and,
why, do you have, why do you have peppermint, menthol, pastry, unicorn's breath, 14,000 different flavours? What's all that about?
Well, Joe, as I said to one of your researchers earlier on, the thing I agree with you, Joe, is that there's a certain element of every sector that is not right for public. And I think you're right. There's a certain element of names and products that have been brought into the market that shouldn't be. But, Joe, here's the thing we have to remember as well. When you're talking about mint and berries and flavours like that, they are for adults, because when someone stops smoking, they get their taste buds and sense of smell back. And actually, over 75% hate the taste of tobacco. And, Joe, the example I always give is, if you look at Nicorette, which is a pharmaceutical product for people to stop smoking, there's no tobacco flavour. So why is that, Joe? Because people like flavours. They don't want the taste of tobacco. Tobacco is a very unpleasant taste, so people don't like it. So if you look at Nicorette, they have berry burst, they have mint ice. They have similar flavours.
But the state, actually, to certain people who can get Nicorette free through the HSE. Isn't that correct?
Oh, it is, Joe. And to help them
give up smoking.
They do. And if you look at the UK, Joe, there was statistics only released this week, or late last week. They have the lowest smoking rate they've ever had since records began. They're down at 12.9%. We're still at about 18%. Because you know what they're doing? They're not saying vaping's the only thing. They're saying vaping along with counselling, along with medicine, different things working together can make it work for people to stop smoking. It's very hard to stop smoking. But they have them in hospitals. They're giving them out free to people. So I just think, what I'd love to see, Joe, and this is something that could be done, where the industry meets with the government and there's nearly a code of conduct that they don't sell the type of flavours you're talking about, like unicorn and things like that. They are things I do not agree with that's in the industry, and it's a very small element of that. But fundamentally, Joe, we need to keep our eye on the prize here. There's nearly 5,000 people die every year. The cost to the taxpayers is €2 billion every year.
So the answer there is, let's say to people who are smoking, go to your GP if you want to try and give up smoking. We will give you vaping products free. Professor Luke Clancy is a professor well known in the whole area. Luke, good afternoon. First of all, Joe's point that vaping is 95% less harmful than smoking.
That's not true. But he did modify and say maybe a bit more or less. What that was based on, and he did quote Public Health England, and they were abolished, but what it was based on was a consensus statement when a number of pharmacologists, etc., sat down about 10 years ago now or more, and there was no evidence on e-cigarettes, and they said that in their paper. But they said, as far as we can make out and estimating from what's in them, it should be 95% safer. However, my problem isn't that. It's that e-cigarettes have been framed, as you heard in that last man, by comparison with cigarettes. That is not what it should be compared with. What we're talking about here is an addictive product, nicotine, which our children are using in huge numbers. And we've surveyed them, and something like 67% of them who never smoked a cigarette have used vapes or e-cigarettes. Mm. And they are using them daily. as well. And the trouble is that their brains, I heard another man there saying they were, he wasn't worried about them, and they don't do much harm. They're addictive, however, and surely the chance of relapse must be increased. And we'll know that in time. But leave that aside. They're addictive, and they're harmful to the brains of children which are developing, and they never recover from it, and they're all using them. And they, all the flavours that you talked about, these are harmful. And when there's a comparison made with Nicorette or anything else that's either ingested or put on as a patch, they're not inhaled. As a respiratory physician, I can tell you that inhaling flavours into your lungs and particles is going to cause harm, which will be seen in the years to come. They should not be allowed. I know that man said it was only some rogue elements. That's not true. It's a big part of the market, and it's deliberate, and it's to get our children addicted. So that's the main point, and that's increasing. And we called on the government to do something, not now, but in 2015.
Yeah.
And they are not interested, as you say. They were very interested in smoking, and some of them still are. The present minister has not shown any interest in it, any more than a cursory, where it's mentioned when he has to. But he's not. You need not just somebody who will say yes. You need somebody who will work for it. You need ambassadors. You need people who will take this.
And what do you think? What do you think should happen now, Professor Clancy?
Certainly, flavors should be banned. Also, the age, the 18. We wrote and said this. Why 18? They're still not mature at 18. Your brain doesn't fully mature till 25. Why is this age? Age limits don't really work fully, and we know that. Mm-hmm. And you're. Listener can, or the last man can be happy that they'll find ways of getting them, even if. Now, he says it'll be by the black market. It won't need to be. What they do is they ask their friends to buy them who are overage. They ask their parents, they ask other friends, older people. Mm. We know that age limits have their limitations, but they do mark that we're against them. So they should certainly have an age group. They should certainly ban flavours. They should certainly ban single use. Mm. Now, we've had good airing of the pollution element of these, and it's real. Plastics, lithium, and the batteries. And yes, you heard somebody saying he brings them in and it's his job. That's a minute fraction, and they will admit that in other circumstances. Only a minute fraction of users actually dispose appropriately of them. They throw them around. So they are a pollution hazard. But I'm more worried about the effect on our children and the addiction and the way that they will smoke. And that's not just gateway. Okay. It's common liability theory, etc.
Okay, say what is
also, I'm just going back on to as a smoking aid, or smoke to quit smoking.
Yeah.
Most users of e-cigarettes are dual users. One person said there are 250,000 people using them to give up smoking. Not really. Cooperative people using them. Very few of them. Most of them are dual users. Some people have succeeded, and we've heard some from them, and that is true. It's possible. You're saying, well, maybe they should be given to them as prescription. One of the worries about that is that there isn't a single one of them that has been proved to be harmless.
Okay, I just want to say with us, Luke. Craig White. Craig, do you want to put your point in the form of a question to Professor Luke Clancy, who's a respiratory expert? Go ahead, Luke. Craig.
Well, how are you, Joe? First of all, one thing that's kind of been said a good bit in the last few minutes there is, getting a prescription to access vapes. So, think about this now before you say stuff like that on the radio. If you require a prescription to get a vape, right? As a 16-year-old, you require a prescription to get a vape. What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to go to the shop and buy a box of cigarettes if you can't get your hands on a vape. Because that's what kids do, Joe. That's what young people do. They try things, they experiment with things like that. So if that's the case and you make vapes prescription only in the country, you're back to square one because all the kids will be smoking again.
Okay, so...
I
just want to put your point in the form of a question to Professor Clancy. You say there are benefits to vaping because it helps people quit smoking. Isn't that the key, the sting?
Correct. Yeah. And I'm one of those people. I was a smoker. And then I was never on the disposables now myself, right? I was on the non-disposable ones, and I was on them for close to 2 years, and now I don't smoke. I'm smoke-free for the last 3 years. So if there's benefits like that and people can use them to get benefits like that, surely this is a good thing and it's all positive.
Luke, what do you think of Craig's? And Craig has lived, he's lived the experience.
Yeah, I recognise that and I can understand. And I have said some people have given up smoking by using vapes. Yeah. That happens. What I'm saying is that what is the overall effect of vapes on tobacco control? It's negative. Let me tell you one instance. We've been monitoring children smoking for the last 25 years. It fell every time until 2019. And in 2019, for the first time in 25 years, it started to go up. And that was linked with a high prevalence, 40% having tried e-cigarettes and 18% of them on average between boys and girls being regular users. And with that went up smoking. My belief is that smoking will go up. Ours has not gone down. We heard that man saying it's very low in England. He modified it by saying it wasn't all due to e-cigarettes. I would say none of it was due to e-cigarettes, which is not to say that nobody gave up by using e-cigarettes. You have to have a policy. The interventions to stop smoking, we're very good at here. And I would criticise you a little bit for saying we have to wait till we see everyone else doing it. Now, that's not the history, as Luke, one of the men said.
I know when Micheál Martin brought in the smoking ban. But Luke, do you not think, if France are doing it, they say they're doing it, Germany are saying they're doing it, Australia are trying it, Joe said that's going to collapse soon, so that'll be a learning if that happens. But if the UK tomorrow brought a ban in on single-use disposable vapes, you could be guaranteed it would shoot the issue to the top of the agenda here in Ireland.
I agree with that, but I do think that we can take initiative here. I've just said that the present minister has done nothing that I can see as a good intervention on behalf of the topic.
We can do it,
and we will do it.
But it's too late.
Luke, can I just ask...
Joe, I promise I'll let you back in after this break. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 is the text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We're talking about vaping and everything that comes in between and all the pros and cons. Lucy Daly. Lucy, good afternoon. Will you put your point to Professor Clancy, Lucy? Go ahead, please.
I'm part of a group of students and we have a recycling service for disposable vapes. So we just piloted in Trinity College Dublin and in Electric Picnic there 2 weeks ago. So we're expanding now to include 6 college campuses over the next 2 weeks and a few bars and nightclubs around Dublin to kind of promote the recycling of.
And I'll come back to that enterprise in a sec. You say banning, I'm trying to get people to put these questions directly to Luke. Luke, Lucy says in her call, banning them could lead to people ordering them online from China. Is that correct, Lucy?
Sure it is. Yeah. They're doing it already and they'll continue to do it. What I'm saying about bans is that there's more needed. There's no magic bullet that's going to just stop people using them. It's about convincing them that it's not the best thing for tobacco control. It's not the best thing for our children. It's a one device that might help some people to stop smoking. I heard the TCD initiative there to get them to return them. That's good, but it's not happening in the common. And also, I'm disappointed that TCD still have smoking within the campus. This was supposed to be banned long ago, and they resisted it. Primarily, it looked because of the functions that are held there. Let them not try and preach to us. There's a lot to be done here, and it's not one thing. And we must get serious about the harm being done by tobacco and by its new device, as Micheál Martin said, to get our children hooked and to get them onto cigarettes. And why do we need it at all? Now, you said, is it too late? It's not too late, but there's a lot needs to be done. It's not going to be solved by putting up the age or even putting up the price. All of these things can help, but you want a notion that that fights this idea that they have in the UK, that these are the solution to all smoking problems. They're not. They're harmful. In the long run, they're bad for smoking control. If even among adults, smoking has gone up in Ireland since we started using e-cigarettes, despite this claim that so many are using them to stop. They're not. So they are. There are people using them to stop, in case you get flooded by calls, and some people are succeeding. But overall, smoking has gone up. Why is that? If they're the solution. They're not the solution. There's a whole lot of things that need it, and it needs a really dedicated minister who will take this on. Now, I agree that Oisin Smith has done something and will do something about the pollution side of it, but that is the small side of it.
And
the
is that what propelled you and your pals? It was the pollution side of it, is it? To go collecting.
Yeah, so we were motivated by the pollution side, because they have they have lithium batteries in them, and
And what do you do? What do you do with them when you collect them?
So we are partnered with We Ireland, so they're the battery recycling people. So they are then shipped off to Germany, where they're disassembled.
Okay, and you said you went to Electric Picnic. Like, fair play to you for a start, but like, how many of you went down? And what was the plan? What was the protocol? What did you do?
So four of us went down. So since they brought in the ban on the vapes this year, we had boxes. We kind of briefed security staff if they confiscated them, to put them in our boxes, and then we set them up as well around where, say, seating areas or bathrooms and stuff were for people to use them. And we got about 1,200 kind of back from people. We would have expected even more if, you know, they weren't banned. I think
they
people
weren't banned,
were a lot more sneaky.
Lucy, what is your understanding why Electric Picnic, which is getting more and more, always trendy, but it was a bit left field, but now it's centre field and very, very trendy, and and they sold the 75,000 tickets at £300 a lash within 10 minutes. So it's very, very popular and mainstream. But why do you think Electric Picnic banned the single use disposables in the first place, which is very brave of them?
It was from an environmental point of view, because they create a lot of waste at festivals.
So what do you think about the argument, ban single use disposable?
I don't really think a ban would work very well, because you have the kind of psychology behind bans that a lot of the time it kind of makes people want to do it more. And then you have kind of what Joe said, people, like, you can go onto Alibaba, even Amazon, you can order 100 of them and just ship them in. So I think people will always still have them. Whereas at least kind of, I think they just need to be a bit stricter on how that they have to be recycled, or they have to be collected in such a way that they dispose of properly.
Excuse me. And have you vaped, Lucy? And have you vaped flavours?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be mad into it myself. No, we just kind of saw that it was a big problem on college campuses, which is why we decided to set this up.
And is it true? Can you still smoke outdoors in Trinity, in the courtage of the college?
You can smoke in. There's three designated smoking areas that you can smoke in. Otherwise, you can't.
And where are the designated smoking areas?
There's one around where the bar is, and then there's another like around by the cricket pitch, and then kind of over where the libraries are.
Okay, but it's within the walls of Trinity.
Yeah, it's within the campus.
Okay. And Lucy, when you is there any way your organisation can get bigger, with some state help, if that's what you're doing for the environment? Have you any income?
We've got some support from some vape companies. It's just kind of volunteer run at the minute. We're just to help us kind of take them back. It's kind of just volunteers. We've been pretty lucky. We have kind of
what support have you got from the vape companies?
We've got a little bit of help with setting up kind of some of the costs of setting up, getting the boxes made and getting our kind of stuff out there.
And what do you think of that, Luke? That's legitimate, isn't it?
Hello?
Luke, what do you think of that the vaping companies have helped?
I could smell that, I'm afraid.
What do you mean?
It was quite obvious from the talk that Lucy had that she thought the practice is okay and banning it be a problem, and she used the industry notion of banning, which is that if you do, there'll be terrible other illegal means, and that the vape shop may not be get their full money because they'd be getting them elsewhere. And that tone came through immediately from Lucy, and I'm not impressed.
Lucy.
Well, I've actually got my figures on banning is from, there was numerous studies done by the American Psychological Association on banning when. But yeah, we're solely volunteer run. We're an independent group of students, so like we're giving our time to this as an environmental cause. We're not, you know, we're not making any money. We're not doing anything like that. So don't have any ulterior motives.
Okay, okay, Regina, your point, please, Regina.
Hello, Joe. How are you? How are things?
Good, thanks.
Joe, I'm just quickly going to say I do agree with Professor Clancy there. I'm a mother myself and I work in the healthcare as well. Mm-hmm. And I just feel they should be banned. They were originally just set up to as a it was supposed to be prescription for GPs to help people get off cigarettes, but it's just gone terribly wrong. And a lot of our young people, really young people, and even under 18, over 18, and like what I can see, you'd be horrified. I just can't believe there's so many now smoking that wouldn't have been smoking or wouldn't have tried it. Do you know what I mean?
And how do you, so but how do you know that, Regina?
Because I have young children myself, well, they're in their 20s, okay. And I see their friends, and I'm watching now. I just observe because I'm so passionate about it because I feel it's going to affect all their health in years to come, and they don't realise it. And when they're out socialising, it's just a bit of a fad now, but they don't realise what it's doing to them, and they don't realise that they're going to be addicted in years to come, and they're going to end up with severe chest problems and whatever else is going
but
to
Luke,
be.
Professor Luke Clancy, he said he's been campaigning for 8 years. For some legislation around vaping, and nothing has happened.
Yes.
There's not even legislation in this country about the age which you can. I know the shops say they've imposed that they've put in a voluntary age limit, but it is voluntary. But it's not even a legal issue on the age. The only thing that's on it is VAT, which is on everything anyway. By any product you sell normally in a shop is 23% VAT. There's no excise on it. Is it too late, Regina?
I don't think it's too late, no. No, it's not. It's never too late to try and see something that you can see ahead of time what's going wrong. I've even talked to a couple of teachers and they have told me they've found 8-year-olds in the playgrounds with them. Do you know? And our 18-year-olds are still very vulnerable and they're going to college and there's all new experiences for them. So if they can get something very easily, they're not thinking of their health at that time. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's too late. I think it's a very serious problem we have in the country now, and I think something needs to be done right now.
Joe Dunn from Creative Distribution and Vaping Products. Go ahead, Joe. You wanted to come back in.
I did, Joe. I'm sorry. I don't think there's enough time in the show just to go back through some of the points that Professor Clancy made. But let's just tackle the first thing, Joe, about the environment and the recycle. That we as a company set up a recycling program over the past 6 to 8 months with We Ireland. So all the blue boxes you see in your local convenience stores or in vape stores are there to take disposables back. And as the young girl said there from Trinity, then they go to Germany and up to 85% of them products are recycled. So there's a recycling program there, Joe. We just need to create more awareness for it. But it is there. So a ban is not needed. A ban should be the last resort. We can do deposits and return where if it's brought in by the minister, people pay an extra few quid for the disposable and then they get that back. So I think there's many other options in relation to that. But just to go back to just to Luke Clancy's point, Joe, and this is the point that really, really, really irks me when it comes to people having a view. I'd like to ask Professor Clancy if he can answer me this question. Professor Clancy's been in charge of Smoke Free Ireland over the past number of years. And in 2013, they made a statement with the Minister for Health, Dr. James Riley, that we will be smoke free by 2025. Now, on current predictions, Joe, we won't be smoke-free till 2052. And if we keep banning and restricting vaping, it'll be a long time after that. The UK are estimated to be smoke-free within the next 10 to 12 years. We'll be 25 years after them. So my question is to Professor Clancy, if he wants vaping gone tomorrow, what is he going to do? Because NRT has a 97% failure rate, so we can't keep doing the same things over and over again, Joe, and hoping that people have stopped dying from smoking. So where is the answer? Vaping is the answer. Vaping is one of the answers to that. And Professor Clancy keeps talking about, we don't know if people are using them to stop smoking. The smoking rate back 10 years ago was 23%. It's now 18%. The vaping rate is 5% in that time. So, Joe, We don't need to be a mathematician to work out. If it's minus 5 in smoking and plus 5 in vaping, I'm sure you know what is making a bit of a difference to the smokers out there. And Joe, smoking kills over 60% of the people that use it. Vaping is scientifically proven. Scientifically proven. Like Professor Clancy can talk about Public Health England. I'm talking Royal College of Surgeons, University College London. I'm talking people who are experts in tobacco harm
reduction. Vaping is scientifically proving. Proven what?
Scientifically proven to be 95 to 96% less harmful. But a lot of people are just dismissing that, Joe. But what I'm trying to say to you is that the UK have talks on this all the time. They have experts, and these are experts in tobacco harm reduction. Not Luke Clancy.
So when you say 95 or whatever less harmful than cigarettes, coffin nails, that means they still are harmful.
There is, Joe, but listen, Joe, we live in a world everything is harmful. If I can just make one point, Joe, about harm reduction. Everything we do is harm reduction. We have certain deaths on the road every year. Do we stop people from driving? No, we give them seatbelts and we put speed limits in. It's about harm reduction. And harm reduction here is reducing the harm that cigarettes cause to a smoker. And that's what this industry is doing. And I make this point now, Joe, and hopefully we're talking in 10 years' time and the smoking rate is down to zero. I hope it is, Joe, but mark my words here today, there's no end game to tobacco if vaping is not involved. And you can, and I'm 110% sure of that.
Lou Clancy.
I'm not in charge of Smoke-Free Ireland, and I never was. I showed 4 years after Riley's pronouncement that it wasn't possible for the smoking to be down in the time when he said, and published it in 2017. So that's nonsense. The next day.
How do we get there?
No, but hang on, Joe. In fairness, you did accuse Luke Clancy of saying we'd have a smoke-free Ireland by 2025. He's categorically saying he didn't say that. Do you accept that?
Not only did I not say it, but I showed scientifically that it wasn't possible and published it in international peer-reviewed journal in 2017. So I'm not listening to that bull. The next thing is, e-cigarettes are not 95% safer than anything. And as you said, safer than, and so they're not safe. But what I can tell you is that that figure will keep coming down as we get more experience. Since that figure, which was wrong to begin with, was published, we have found every day I have papers coming into me about this, showing that there is increasing lung damage from e-cigarettes, there's increasing cardiac damage from e-cigarettes. We knew the brain damage in children. These are accumulating. That will be proven. What I'm talking about is now, and as you're saying, what are we going to do about it? We do not need e-cigarettes to get rid of smoking. I know about harm reduction. It's been misappropriated where it's needed in hard drugs. The elements of it are missing. England is an outlier. They're wrong on e-cigarettes. They're very good on tobacco control and have been since the Second World War, after which they made the same mistake. MRC joined with the tobacco industry to get rid of smoking. It was a disaster. They're now joining with the e-cigarette manufacturers. It'll be a disaster. They are not the solution. They are part of a solution if properly used. They're not being properly used. They're being used to infiltrate and get our children addicted, as that last woman said. And I do have the data that the smoking in children has increased. And I gave it to you earlier. I won't repeat it. What we're doing, the interventions needed to get rid of tobacco, if you want to list of them, were, as we did, banning on advertising, banning in smoking in public places. That was undermined by the e-cigarettes deliberately because they said, this is only vapour, it's harmless. It's not harmless, but it is not as harmful because it doesn't have the same carcinogens as cigarette smoke, but it undermined it. We need higher prices. We need restriction on where it's sold. We need proper licensing. We need education, but we also need intervention. We need a sponsor and we need a champion in the Department of Health. We had one. We've only had one ever, even though most of our ministers have been good. The present minister has not made it an issue. I heard you saying it wasn't a priority.
The junior minister, Oisín Smith, he's had a public consultation.
He's not a minister for health.
Well, he's in the department, and he has the ear, the minister.
He's not in the department.
He's a public consultant of the environment. I know. Okay.
Yeah, he's in the public department. There is one, a minister in Nocton, who may well be interested, but the minister for health is not interested, and unless he is, we won't make much advance.
Okay, Brendan, hold on, Luke. Yeah, Brendan Fahey, before the break, your point, please, Brendan.
Joe, I'd agree everything Professor Clancy says, of course. But I was on, well, as I said, vaping, I despise it. I like going out in any place, going around town, get on, in any public area, the damn thing is blowing it right into your face. And I find it disgusting, the ignorant thing to be at. I came from the cigarette end of things where I gave up cigarettes in 79.
Brilliant.
But I got lung cancer in 2015.
Oh, goodness.
When I was coughing up dark red blood, I can tell you the shock I got in my system.
Brandon,
I'd never seen anything so bad, but I was lucky enough at the time.
Did you ever think of the vaping?
Oh, not at all. Oh, I wouldn't look at that.
Why not? Tell me why.
Well, I have nothing to do with vaping because cigarettes.
Okay.
I gave cigarettes up.
It's 79, and it was so long before.
It's a hard thing. I give up the drinking cigarettes together. My God, the cigarettes were so hard to give up because I didn't know they were a damn drug.
Yeah.
But the vaping, I've no time for that. I think we should have just stayed away from it completely.
I've got to take a break and best of luck with your health issues, Brendan Fahey. Back after this break. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Luke, I don't want to get into this in great detail, but I'm reading a newspaper article from earlier on this year from the Irish Mirror, and it says Ireland to crack down on vapes as Stephen Donnelly, obviously the Minister of Health, calls for restrictions on design and flavours. Is that not an indication that the Minister is worried?
I wouldn't have thought so. If he was worried, he'd have said, we have evidence that our children are being addicted and that they're going on to cigarettes, that it's causing their lungs damage, that it's damaging their hearts, that it's damaging their brains, and I'm going to do something about it, and I'm going to listen to the people who are publishing in peer-reviewed journals about this. He said that, and that's a minimum. As I've said, Oisin Smith might do something about the plastics, and Nocton might do something about vaping. Otherwise, there's nothing being done. This is not going to happen by accident. If you listen to the people whose livelihood is at stake in terms of their shops and so on, then you'll have to be on their side. This is, if you're on the health side, you can't just say, will it be good for business? It won't be good for business. It'll be good for our health. It'll be good for our children. It'll be good for our health.
Do you think it would be enough just to ban the sale of vaping, i.e. nicotine inhaling products, to under 18s. Would that be good enough?
No. It'll be a signal that we don't believe they're good for them. And that's the importance of that. It's an educational thing. They'll find ways around that. That's why they don't care about that. In fact, they'd welcome it. And they'd welcome it particularly if we make sure that there's no ban and that the sales don't all go into the black market. So this is all nonsense. You've got to get serious about it if you want to do something
Louise Newman, your point, please. Louise, you're listening to Professor Clancy.
I smoked since I was 17. I'm 64 now. Okay. And last January, I stopped.
Right.
I stopped drinking 5 years ago, and I stopped smoking 8 months ago.
Yeah, brilliant.
And it was way harder. Yeah. Giving up cigarettes was way harder.
Yeah.
The only way I was able to do it was I walked into this special shop, and I did pay out money, and I bought a vape that you fill up every now and then. I don't know what the vapes that are not single use are called. I don't know what the terminology is. But
the single use disposable, yeah. Vapes.
No, it's not a single use disposable, the one I used. I plug it in.
Okay, sorry. And you put liquid in it. Sorry, yeah.
You put liquid
in it. Yeah.
You charge it like you would your phone.
Yeah.
And I have only, since I got it. I've only used two bottles.
Okay.
Because I simply use it if I get this mad urge run out and buy a fax because something has happened. I take it out of a drawer and I'll take a few puffs on it and that gets rid of that urge.
Okay, is that not good news, Luke?
It is good news and I'm glad for her. I wonder, did she actually go to a smoking cessation service before this?
Did I go to a which, Professor?
Did you go to a specialist cessation...
No, that's the best way
to do it. We know that if you do it on your own, your chances are very low. Unless you go and get advice. I've done it.
But what I wanted to say is I have seen with family members, younger family members, I've seen them on the single vapes.
I opened a drawer
one day and I was shocked to see it full of different coloured single-use vapes. And that to me is horrifying. And that to me is like the other caller. I mean, it's all about the buck. It's all about money. And I think education, as the professor said, Professor Clancy, I think is what is needed. I also, like Lucy, hate the word ban. I think it's not a useful word. I think maybe discontinue might be a better word. But we
ban a lot of things in Ireland. Why is ban necessarily? I know in Ireland we have our history of a censorship ban and all this nonsense. But like we have a ban on guns, we have a ban on weapons, we have a ban on children buying knives, we have a ban on children buying alcohol, we have a ban on children going into pubs, we have a ban on drinking on the street, even though it's never enforced. We have loads of bans and a lot of them are regarded as good. Ban isn't necessarily a dirty word in a society.
No, it's not necessarily a dirty word, but I think, as Lucy said, I do think it. With young people too, sometimes, you know, it's the nature of, you know, like a lot of students. I don't think the word ban is helpful.
Yeah, but I personally think, Louise, that I don't think somebody would automatically, an intelligent person would automatically taste or try something because it's banned. I think people are a lot more intelligent than that. But anyway, I take your point. I'm well done giving up the cigarettes.
And it is about education.
Here. And that's why we've asked for Luke Clancy to be on the programme today. Thanks, Louise Newman. Bernie Whelan. Bernie, your point, please.
How you doing, Joe? Joe, I just had a recent health scare there, but now cigarette-based.
Okay.
But the amount of people that have said to me, obviously I've had to give up cigarettes, the amount of people that have said to me, would you not just get a vape, say, Joe?
Okay, yeah.
So basically what my point is, I have a 17-year-old son. I was finding these little boxes in his room, these little bottles and everything else, maybe the odd lost Mary, and eventually I just got to the stage, and even though I was smoking at the time, I just pulled up one day in the car at the side of the road and I said to him, are you vaping? And he just looked at me and he said to me, no ma'am, that wasn't mine. I said, look, do you know what? I said, don't tell me lies. I didn't come in. I said, you're the youngest of four. I've been here, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he said to me, well, he said, you know, he said, everybody in school is at it. And I'm like,
what age group is he talking about, Bernie?
Well, I've seen them from 14 years up. I've seen one young lad one day during the summer and these little small flavoured ones, he actually had three different flavoured ones with him.
Okay.
And I actually think that they're targeted at kids as well.
Oh, look at
all the coloured packets and everything else. No. You go into the shop to buy a packet of cigarettes, they're hid behind the door.
You can nearly buy one to suit the outfit you're wearing, denim or So when you asked your chap, your young flip, are you vaping? He said he was.
Yeah. Oh, he told me he was. He was also after suffering from, he never had a sore throat in his life. He was also after having a really bad bout of tonsillitis, which got to the stage, it went on for about 6 weeks. So we were up and down to the doctor. And I went in with him because obviously he was only 17, 16 at the time. And I said, can you tell him about the dangers of vaping?
Okay.
And I know it was rich coming from me at the time because I was still smoking. But at the same time, I was thinking to myself, my dad died from an asthma attack at 63. God only knows 20 years down the road what are going to be told that the effects of this vaping are.
What do you think of the argument of the vaping industry? It's less harmful than smoking?
No. No, I think it's just replacing one crutch with another. There's okay. kids vaping that okay. never put a cigarette in their mouth.
Okay, back after this break. Joe at RT.ie. Thanks, Bernie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Just can I ask you, Professor Clancy, would you be prepared to debate with the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, if he came on the programme?
Anytime.
Okay. Okay, because the Department of Health have been on saying
I don't know what they've been on saying. Nothing I've said is untrue, and I'm sure they wouldn't have said it was.
They're saying, well, basically the line, I'm told, is they're trying to bring in a law.
Well, they're trying. But they can bring in laws when they really care. As you said earlier, it's not a priority.
Okay. Okay, read out this long statement. Though the minister's more... I hear the minister every second day on Morning Ireland and News Talk. So the Minister of Public Health introduced a vaping legislation to Oireachtas earlier this year which will ban the sale of vapes and other nicotine and inhaling products under 18s. You've already addressed that. You don't think it's enough. This will progress further next week when it goes to the committee stage. The ministers are adamant that the ban of the under 18s comes into place as soon as possible, and the intention that this ban would be in place before the end of the year. Let's presume it is. You still say, and you're entitled to say this, Luke, we are living in a democracy. You still say a ban on under 18s is not enough.
I do. It's inadequate. I don't say it's not welcome. I do welcome
okay,
the ban.
Well, you said that. The ministers were told... I need to put this to you, Luke, in the world we now live in. The ministers have committed to further legislation as early as possible to address issues such as flavours, packaging, point of sale and preparatory work is already underway on this.
That's good news.
Okay. Dan O'Donoghue. Dan, your point, please, in Cork.
Hello, Joe.
Go ahead, Dan.
Hello, Joe.
Yes, go ahead.
You can hear me. Oh, yeah. So, I suppose I'd just start with a quick question. Do we see any plastic bags blowing around the countryside anymore? And the answer to that is no, for the large part. And why is that? It's because... visionary decision to put a 20 cents levy on every plastic bag
supermarket. Going way back to Noel Dempsey,
Yeah. So I think if ever there was a time to replicate that good strategy as one part of dealing with this issue, particularly in relation to young people using disposable vapes, would be to put a pro rata levy on the weight of the plastic in a disposable vape, so it might be 1 or 2 or 3 euros, and then put a 5 euro or something levy for the disposal battery that's in there, and make it prohibitive for a child to walk into a shop or get their friend to go into a shop who's older and buy them vapes.
So the way I'm looking at it, you double the price of single use disposable vapes. Effectively, yeah. Okay, Joe Dunn of Vaping Ireland. Joe, what would happen if your product was doubled in price?
Well, as you know yourself, Joe, one of the main reasons that people swap, obviously, from smoking to vaping, one is obviously for health, but one of the main reasons is because it saves them money, because vaping is a hell of a lot cheaper. So, believe it or not, we live in a world where people put wealth over health, which I think is the wrong way around, but unfortunately that's what it is, and especially with cost of living crisis and everything else. That vaping is overall cheaper. We even heard that lady earlier on, who, in fairness, who had given up cigarettes, who thought she should never give up, and she was smoking since she was 15 to 64. But, in fairness, Luke Clancy just seems to be having a go at everybody today.
So now, come back to my point, Joe. What would happen if the government if excise was put on the vape like it is on cigarettes and alcohol or whatever, and it doubled the price of the very, as you say, much, much cheaper vapes than cigarettes, it doubled your price, what would happen to the vaping industry in Ireland?
Well, I think you would see a high percentage, Joe, go back to cigarettes. I think you would see that. That's the problem you have.
That's a good
thing.
Point.
We don't want that
Luke,
happen, Joe.
Joe,
can I just ask one thing? Sorry, Joe.
Just
relating to the few things that Luke has said. You know, at the end of the day, these products are out. I agree with Luke Clancy. I agree with him 100% when I say this, and I say this wholeheartedly. Young people should not be using these, as they shouldn't be smoking. And if you've never smoked, you shouldn't vape. But also, Luke Clancy has to realise that we can't keep doing the same thing. Vaping is a part of a solution that is less harmful to people that use it. And we need to give smokers a chance, except for quit or die joke, because they're the only two choices they have at the moment.
In fairness, I have made that point earlier, and the retort from Luke Clancy is the word harmful is still in there. Gwen, your point, please.
My son is 25 and he's 4 weeks off vaping. He used vapes to give up cigarettes, and he got so worried about his clarity of thought and his mental state with brain fog due to vaping that he decided he would just get Nicorette patches and cut out the vaping. Now, I've never seen a young lad have such difficulty trying to get off such an addiction, because these beautiful little coloured vapes that are €8 each, they contain 2 mils of liquid, and each mil of liquid contains 20 milligrams of nicotine. So he was smoking one of those vapes a day. So that's 40 milligrams of nicotine, and that is equivalent to one box of 20 cigarettes, because there's 2 milligrams of nicotine in each cigarette.
And how long did it take him to come off vapes?
Well, he's only 4 weeks now, Joe. He's just very early into it, and he's actually starting to feel better. He said he was suffering with shocking anxiety because he was waking in the morning and the first thing he had to find was this vape, and he had to be sure he had it everywhere he went.
Okay.
And this is why some people carry 2 and 3 of them around with them. But it really is a shocking addiction, and the young people coming up aren't smoking cigarettes. They're just going straight to the shops. Lovely shelf of beautiful coloured vapes to put in their handbags and have in their pockets. And honestly, the amount of nicotine in them is just killing their brains. And your doctor, Luke, he's brilliant. He's a man who's well educated and he knows exactly what he's talking about.
Okay. So. And Joe Dunn argues the same as well, in fairness. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
John Horan, your quick point, please.
Joe, how are you?
Go ahead, John.
Joe, I'd be more of the opinion that the devil you don't know is better than the devil you do know. Because tobacco is the devil I do know. And I've been smoking 45 years, Joe, up until July last year, when I managed to give them up. I was on the patch and then on the small Nicorette. And I was on the chewing gum. I'd done everything except get hypnotised. But it was working on and off. But I went on the liquid vape.
Okay. Which is not... And is that working for you?
It is. I haven't had a cigarette since July 2022. And I know if you haven't got the vape to fall back
would you
on,
not try the single-use disposable?
No.
Why not?
No. I'd rather have one that I know is going to work in my pocket.
But your one is the liquid refillable. Okay, good to meet you, Margaret John. Professor Luke Clancy, Joe Dunn of the vaping industry, thank you also. Nadine Maloney, producer, Ray Darcy next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.